We're joined now by head coach of the Toronto Raptors, Dwayne Casey. Dwayne, Gord was a fan of your team. Gord came to games. Gord was at a Raptors game in the spring and got a huge standing ovation. It's really sad news. Sorry to bring you in with that, but obviously life intercedes sometimes, doesn't it?
No, Greg, that's far more important than basketball. That's, you know, like you said, it's a sad day, and again, cancer takes no prisoners. And, you know, we just did a function yesterday. Another disease as tough as diabetes with Sun Life yesterday with a bunch of kids to bring the awareness to diabetes, and cancer is the same thing. And I'm sure Gord would really much rather bring that awareness about than talk about basketball, because that, like you said, that's real stuff. And, you know, basketball is a sport, and sometimes we get it twisted. And it's far more important than talk about the accomplishments also that he brought about for the city, for the country, and the music he produced and the memories he made for a lot of people.
Well, Gord was Canada. Just thanks, guys. Just clearing away some tears. I mean, knew that this was going to happen, but it kind of, you know, a shock. Thought we might be eased a little more into it, but here we are. Basketball season got underway last night, and you know, so it puts into perspective death in comparison to an injury yesterday, and yet it certainly had people in the basketball world, the injury to Gord Hayward, which is going to cost him pretty much this season, and who knows when or if he'll be able to make it back, but it certainly affected a lot of people last night, watching him 5 minutes and 15 seconds into the basketball season go down with a gruesome injury.
No question, guys. It's one of those things that you hate to see a player go down like that. It kind of reminds you of the Paul George injury that he had, and luckily and fortunately, Paul George was able to come back and renew his career, and hopefully Gordon Hayward can come back and renew his career, because you hate to see a player lose their livelihood, lose their gift that they have, and hopefully he can bounce back from that. And it kind of took, like you said, the luster off of the start of the NBA season to see that. But again, you know, hopefully he can come back, and I'm sure he'll have the best of medical care and attention that he'll need to bounce back.
I'm not sure that's unique to basketball, Dwayne, but I feel it's symbolic of basketball, that you want to beat teams. They're your competitors. You don't have to like everybody you play against, but there just seems you want to win a certain way, and you don't want to win that kind of way. You want to win with the best against best. There's something unique about basketball players, because a lot of these guys have played college against each other, or they've played they've played AAU, or they've played internationally. There is that relationship with players. DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, both on Twitter last night, sent their best wishes. Again, you don't want the Celtics to be worse because of that reason.
No question. You want to play against the best. You want them to be at their best, and we want to be at our best. And so that's why you see that. And the NBA is the NBA family, whether it's coaches or players or whatever it is, or you know, general managers, presidents, owners. It's a tight-knit family. It's 30 teams. It's 30 organizations that you hope for the best for. And, you know, given night, you're ready to beat their brains out. But any other time, you hope in good health, good, you know, more than anything else. And you hate to see that. And I'm sure if something happened, unfortunately, to one of our players, they would feel the same way.
With Coach Dwayne Casey of the Toronto Raptors, they get underway tomorrow against the Bulls. Expectations and thoughts for this team seem to be down from last season. Do you care? Do you ignore it? Or do you use it for fuel?
I use it for fuel, because, again, everybody's anointed Golden State and Cleveland and as far as the cream of the crop. But, again, we all have to play 82 games, and that's what I challenge our players with. You know, that's why they play the 82 games, and the predictions and all that can say one thing. We are a different team than last year. We're playing a little bit different style of play offensively. You know, we're younger. You know, the second unit is a question mark for us right now, and they've played excellent basketball in exhibition season and in practice. So for real, tomorrow night we'll see how they respond. But really excited about our young core, which consists our second unit consists of with DeLon Wright, with Fred Van Fleet, OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam. That young group is really, you know, going to be a big part of what we do and how they come in and change the game with sustained leads with the second unit. So that's the exciting part. That's the question mark. And our core group is back. They're who they are. And again, we're trying to establish a little bit more efficient offensive style of play that's going to help us in the playoffs.
Dwayne Casey joining us, 841, Brady and Price. It's Chicago here tomorrow night, Philadelphia, and their exciting young roster here at the ACC on Saturday before a long road trip. There probably, I don't know that it's been a fair question for you, but there isn't a set number of threes that you're looking for. You guys were 22nd in the league in three-point attempts last year with 24.3. The goal seems to be to get higher on that list, but a really good team in Milwaukee was lower than you. San Antonio was lower than you. Indiana was lower. Minnesota doesn't take a lot of threes with their big two. They might take a few more with Jimmy Butler there. The games have an organic feel to it. Do you have a number you look at and you say, well, I sure don't want to be below X for a certain game, or do you not?
Well, no, I don't want to put a number on it. Greg, I think the most important thing are efficient threes, the type of threes in rhythm, in the flow of the offense, not forced. They have to, happen organically. You know, we have certain players that are not going to just become three-point shooters, totally three-point shooters, and it's not the amount of threes. It's probably more the less non-paint twos that we want to take, whether getting into the paint, getting them the old-fashioned way, drawing fouls the way DeMar DeRozan does. People really, I guess, downplay that, and it's really the same thing. But the non-paint twos are more what we're looking for not to shoot and being more efficient that way, because those are the low-percentage shots. You know, the guys have the green light. We've been working on drawing kick threes in rhythm threes, and guys have the green light to take those. And again, there's not a set number, just as long as they're efficient in rhythm and not forced.
Right, your center was practicing his threes during the offseason, letting everybody know Valanciunas is ready to shoot threes. Is there a set number here?
No, not a set. Again, if he's open, feet set, and in rhythm, what I don't want to do is have players to pump fake and then reload and recoil and shoot threes. Those are not quality threes, and that, you know, but Jonas knocks him down in practice. Lucas knocks him down in practice. Jakob works on him in practice. So we're working on him. Just as long as they're, you know, your feet are set and you got a good look at it, you know, boom, let it fly. Because that's the confidence you got to have. But if you have to reload, or for players, you know, you covered and you have to pump fake yourself and then sidestep into another three, that's not an efficient three. So, you know, there's not a set number. Like I said, long as they're in rhythm, no matter who it is.
I don't know that this is good news, bad news, but you get Anunoby healthier way earlier than you would have hoped. And I thought he did some really unique things the couple times I saw him in the preseason. That's good news for your team. That's good news for him. I don't know that it's great news for Bruno. It's really tough this has been a tough team for Bruno to crack. Maybe on 10 or 12 other teams in the league, there's more room to play him. You really, it's difficult, right? 3 years from when he was drafted, there still isn't a set defined role, but that's partly about him. It's partly about your depth, isn't it?
Well, Greg, it is. And that's one thing. And that's one great thing about having the 905 organization for us. He can go down there and play, get some more minutes. He played, you know, Bruno had an excellent camp, shot the ball well, and for whatever reason it didn't translate into the exhibition game. But you know, those things happen as far as, you know, the competition, that position. OG has grown, like you said. He's kind of got developed and got medically cleared a lot quicker than we thought, but we've watched him grow throughout training camp. He got his conditioning, he's got his strength, he's got his knee stronger, his confidence back into his knee. Now he's making plays. He's not 100% all the way back, but we're lucky that he's a top 10 talent. And he's not all the way back, but we've got to invest the time with him to watch him grow. And his three-point shooting has coming along. It's not all the way. But the one ingredient that he has that is really going to help him when he gets in trouble is his passing. He's made some excellent passes in practice. And he had two nice post feeds in the game and drawing kick plays that he's had. So those are the feel for the game that he has that Bruno is still learning to have as far as feel to the game and translating, you know, the G League and also the practice sessions into game situations. And, again, those are things you have to be patient with young players.